ask that you be gracious to each and every one of us. We have a strong desire to know your will, to know your word, and I pray that you hide your word within our heart so that we won't sin against you. Enable us not just be able to hear what you have to say to us. Enable us to be a doer of your word, and so that we receive your blessing, and so that we know who you are. Lord, I pray that you be with us for the next hours. As your servant speaks, I pray that you can fill him with your Holy Spirit. And I pray that the Holy Spirit also lead each and every one of us into the truth, so that we can see the wonderful light of your gospel and willing to be drawn by your glory and willing to follow you, carry our own cross, to be your disciple. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. So the last time we talked about what man has done in Heather, could you read that in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 and all the way to the end? Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to the end.
The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves a due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do those very things, but also approve of those who practice them.
Okay, before I explain, I see that there's three newcomers, right? Yeah, welcome to John. Would you please introduce yourself? And who bring, Gabriel, you bring the friend? Who? Joshua? So you want to introduce your friend to us? Could you write down the name so that I can... Are they your classmate?
I'm from the class.
Okay. Elizabeth. You, right?
Also known as Liz. And then, beside her is Esther.
What was that? Is it Japanese name?
No, also Isaac for short.
Okay. Yes. Also Liz. But what's the last name though?
Oh, Lee.
Lee. Okay, Chinese.
No, Korean.
Oh, Korean. I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay.
And then Esther John.
He's also Korean, right?
Yeah. And okay. They brought a friend who's Darren. Yeah. And Darren, what's your last name?
Koon.
K-O-N?
T-O-N.
Oh, sorry.
Darren?
You're not Korean.
No.
You're Chinese, right?
Half.
Half Chinese? So what's the other half?
Quarter Malaysian, quarter Japanese.
Oh, really? Wow, cool. Yeah. Okay. And so could you just tell me a little bit, Elizabeth, about your, are you a Christian?
Yeah.
So you went to Korean church, right?
Actually, I went to a Chinese church.
Oh,
yeah.
You go to Chinese church?
Yeah.
Which Chinese church?
Southern
Adventist Church. Oh, Southern Adventist Church, okay.
Yeah.
And then you, Esther?
I go to a Korean church.
You go to a Korean church? Both of you are Christian? Both of you has been baptized? And Darren? Southern Align. Oh, okay. Yeah. That's very good. Okay, now. There are three things that the Gentile has done. Because the Gentile suppressed the truth. I want you to write beside in verse 18. The worst thing a human being can do is to suppress the truth by their wickedness. Brother and sister, when someone tells you that you have done something wrong and you just confess it, don't ever suppress it. If we suppress the truth, we will face the consequences. I want you to write down right beside 118, James 118. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruit of all he created. God chose to give us birth through the word of truth. If I suppress the truth, that means I'm not born again. As a Christian, don't ever suppress the truth. But because the truth set us free. If we suppress the truth, that means we want to be under the bondage of sins, under the control of Satan. And God chose to give us birth through the truth. The truth will set you free. The truth give you birth. The truth give you life. Take a look at the First Peter 1:23. The word of God is the truth. The word of God give us birth so that we are born again. When people ask you, are you born again Christian? You say, yes, I'm a born again Christian. Can anyone tell me what that means by born again Christian? Your parents give you birth the first time. And the Holy Spirit and the word of God give you birth the second time. So that's why you call yourself born again Christian. You're born once through your mother, and then you're born again through the word of God, the truth. The truth gives us birth. On top of that, the truth nurtures us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 to 3. Could someone read that?
Etta, could you read it?
Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good.
Okay. So once we are born again, we need spiritual milk. That's the word, that's the truth, to nurture us so that we will grow.
grow in grace and grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Each and every one of us has to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The more we study God's Word, the more we understand the truth of God, the more we grow up into Christ. Could you read that?
For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit.
And on top of that, the truth give us birth, the truth help us to grow, and thirdly, number one, number two, number three, the truth will set us free. Gospel of John, chapter 8, 31 to 32. Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 31 to 32. So, as Christians, we never suppress the truth. Never. Don't ever do that. Okay? Why? Because the truth gives us birth, the truth helps us to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and thirdly, the truth sets us free. Could you read that? Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 31 to 32.
To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free."
When we know the truth will set us free. Free from what? Free from the bondage of sin. Free from the control of Satan. So that you can enjoy being the Son of God. Being the children of God. And then, fourthly, I say that the truth gives you birth to help you to grow, nurture your body, nurture your spiritual life, so that you can receive more blessing. I want you also write that down in there, right beside to grow in the grace, right beside 2 Peter 3:18, right beside grace, because we want to receive more blessing from the Lord. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16. On the fullness of his grace, we all have received one blessing after another. The more you know the truth, the more blessing you will receive from God. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16. Could you read that?
From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another.
We don't just want to receive one blessing of salvation and then we run away. We want to continue to receive blessing from the Lord. Because in our study, we need the Lord. In our career, we need the Lord. In our marriage, we need the Lord. In all area of our life, we need the Lord to help us. Don't follow the very first step of the prodigal son. Receive the blessing from his father and ask his father, say, "Set me free. I want to run away and do my own thing." That is bad. And you only get one blessing and you run away. Sooner or later, you're going to run out of blessing. And you're going to come back. That's no good. That's not the desire of the Lord. The desire of the Lord is for his children to receive more blessing, one after another. And in order for us to receive that kind of blessing, we have to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. the more we know about Him, the more we are set free. Right design knowledge. If you write down 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Some people claim to know the Lord and yet do not obey His command. He is alive. He doesn't know the Lord. If I claim that I know the Lord, I have to follow what He has to say to me. And I want to be His disciple. Then you truly know Him. When you know Him, He can live in you. And you can live in Him. And the truth will set us free. And then, fourthly, what else the truth will do to us? Let me see. And who is the truth? And is Christ say, I am the truth. In order for us to know the truth, we have to hear what Jesus has to say to us. And we have to focus unto Jesus. What will He do? What will He do in a situation like this? We want to follow His pattern. Because Jesus Christ said in Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6, I am the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. So those people that who are born again Christian, we need to read God's word every day so that we grow in Him. We receive more grace, more knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The more we know about Jesus, the more we are set free. Free from the bondage of sin, free from the control of Satan. And then we can follow Him. Because Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way. What's the way? The way is to carry the cross. We have to follow Him. Okay? Now, so what happened to non-Christian? In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. If we suppress the truth, that means we are not born again. If we suppress the truth, I won't grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. If I suppress the truth, I'm still under the bondage of sins. I'm under the control of Satan. I don't have joy. I don't have happiness. If I suppress the truth, that means I suppress Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I am the truth. Now let me explain a little bit more about I am the truth. Okay. Jesus Christ said, I am the truth. The Old Testament and the New Testament, when they put it together, and we call that's the Word of God, right? That's the truth. When I look at Jesus, I hear what He say, then I understand the Old Testament and help me to understand the New Testament. Do you remember what I say? The Gospel of Matthew,
Mark, Luke, and John. In these four Gospels, a lot of the saying by Jesus is very, very difficult to understand. A lot of people think they understood. Why? Because I said, now I can check about you. What is the first book that you read? Some people read Gospel of John. Some people start reading Matthew. Some people read Mark and Luke, right? You don't read Daniel, the first book, when you read the Bible. Did anyone read Daniel? Nor do you read Revelation in the New Testament. You read the four Gospels. Am I right? So as Christians, we all know about the four Gospels. And we think we understand the four Gospels. But as a matter of fact, a lot of the truth that is written in the four Gospels, a lot of Christians, they don't understand. They don't understand. I give you one illustration. Okay, I give you one illustration. In Matthew chapter 7, I think a lot of people understand that. 1 to 2. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 and 2.
Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you.
Okay. I want you to write it down. Right beside Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. What did Jesus say to his disciples? Do not judge, lest you be judged. With the measure that you use to measure other people, they're going to use the same kind of measure to measure you. So some people thought, oh, I got the truth. So all I have to do is what? I don't judge people. I'm being kind. I say a lot of kind words. Let me show you another Bible verse. Job chapter 32, verse 21. You try to flatter people. You know, I don't judge you. I say you're good. I say you're good. Right? So could you read that? Job 32-21?
32-21. I will show partiality to no one, nor will I flatter any man.
Well, you haven't finished it.
For if I were skilled in flattery, my maker would soon take me away.
Oh, wow. Read that one more time.
I will show partiality to no one, nor will I flatter any man. For if I were skilled in flattery, my maker would soon take me away.
Do you find out that? A lot of Christians, they practice Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. They don't judge. They being very kind to each other. Let's say, if someone saw that Joshua taking marijuana, and I'm not judging him, I'm just being kind to him. He say, it's okay. Flatter you. Oh, I don't know that. You take marijuana, you still look so healthy, you know. What have you done? He tried to flatter you. Okay? And not knowing that, if you're skilled in battery, the Lord's going to take your life away. He's going to kill you. Christians don't know that. You understand what I'm trying to say? Now, I believe that people know only the partial truth. They only know the partial. The entire Bible is not revolving around Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 and 2 is only partial truth. Not the whole truth of the gospel. You understand? If this is the whole truth, assuming if this is the whole truth, Ephesians, Paul won't write things like that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 and 25. Why would Paul say to the saint in the church of Ephesus, speak the truth in love? When you speak the truth in love, hey, the truth really hurt you, you know? Because if I'm speaking the truth, you don't like hearing that. You know what I mean? assuming Hannah has a boyfriend, happened to be non-Christian, and he's tall, dark, and handsome, and all his friends say, oh, wow, cool, he's good. And although your friend know that he's not a Christian, you're not supposed to go with him, right? Do you have a non-Christian friend going out with you? No, okay, that's good. Just checking. But when people telling you the truth, using 2 Corinthians chapter 6, a Christian and non-Christian should not get married. They cannot yoke together. Don't have a border. You know? And that's the truth. But the truth will hurt you, because you indeed love him very much. And that's why the Bible says, we have to tell the truth in love. When you tell the truth, you are judging her already. Judging her in what aspect? Going out dating with a non-Christian. That's not right. You understand what I'm trying to say? But in churches, we don't do that. Because we remember, it's the first thing you read the Bible. Judge not, lest you be judged. You even tell your parents, don't judge me. So they won't be judged. That's what Jesus said. In other words, you're telling your parents, leave me alone. I can do whatever I like. A lot of people using this Bible too. To do what they like to do. He indeed suppressed the truth. You understand what I'm trying to say? You have to look at the Bible from different angle, from Adam and other books. Take a look at Job, chapter 32, verse 21 to 22. The opposite of judging is flattering people. You don't say that you can't go over to non-Christian friend. You say, it's okay. Keep doing it. As long as you don't fall in love. How can you not fall in love if you keep going with someone? You understand what I'm trying to say, Joseph? You understand? Why Paul saying that? When you speak with your neighbor, tell the truth. Sometimes we don't tell the truth. We tell the partial truth. Because we are afraid to upset Hannah. Because we know else you fall in love. Right? So as her friend, we have to what? Tell her, don't do that. Before you fall in love, get off that situation. Don't do that. You understand? But by saying that, unless you say in a very, very nice way, and people won't, so you will try to distance yourself from your friend. Because every time you saw her, she's going to say the same thing. You don't want to hear about that. So you distance yourself from the friend who tell you the truth. And by doing so, you suppress the truth. You don't want to hear the truth. Okay? And then sometimes you quote the Bible verse. Because I bet you don't know Job 32, 21, 22. You know Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. You don't know where it is. Judge not, let you be judged. If the measure you measure to me, I'm going to measure the same thing to you, right? So Anna, if you only know the partial truth, we are not set free. Your friend under the bondage of sin and dating with non-Christian, eventually, and get married with a non-Christian. And that's that. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? We have to know the truth. The truth will set us free. Don't suppress the truth. The one who is willing to come to you and tell you the truth is truly your friend. Okay? Fifthly, how do I worship God? The word worship is the same word of service. You write worship and service. Worship equal to service. No way you say to me you worship God if you don't serve God. If you don't serve God, you are not worshiping God. And how do I know?
The word worship means service. If you read Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, you know that. In Chinese Bible, talk about service. In the NIV Bible, talk about worship. But they talk about the same thing. Worship and service are the same thing. But the Chinese translation using service. The English NIV translation using worship. I read that to you. Therefore, I urge you, brother, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship in English. In Chinese, this is your spiritual act of service. So worship and service mean the same thing. No way you say to me you worship God and not serving God. And no way you serve God and you don't worship God. These two are inseparable. Okay? This is your spiritual act of worship, spiritual act of service. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. The only way for us to know God's will is to offer yourself as living sacrifice. This is your spiritual act of worship, your spiritual act of service. So, I also want you to write down other than Romans 12, 1 to 2, I want you to write down Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 24. God is spirit. God desires his worshiper to worship God in spirit and in truth. If you don't know God's truth and you say you worship God, you are not worshiping God. Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 24. Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 24. God is spirit. His worshiper must worship in spirit and in truth. Worship God in spirit and worship God in truth. If we are not worshiping God in truth, we are not worshiping. I give you one illustration. Right beside the truth, you write down Matthew, chapter 15, verse 9. In those days, they worship God, not in truth, they worship God according to the pattern of this world, according to the teaching of man, not according to the word of God, then your worship is in vain. The truth help us to worship God that has everlasting value. I don't want to go to a church and worship God and end up when I see Jesus Christ face to face, he say that, I don't know you. Oh, that is bad. I said, what do you mean by you don't know me? I go to the church every Sunday. What do you mean you don't know me? Because Jesus Christ said, you don't know me either. You understand what I'm trying to say? So, Matthew chapter 15, could someone read that? Verse 1 all the way to verse 9. Read it slowly and let's hear. Enter.
Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. Jesus replied, and why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God, he is not to honor his father with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men.
In those days, 2,000 years ago, the Pharisee and the teacher of the law, they worship God. How do they worship God? They worship God not with the word of God. They worship God with their own tradition. Now let me tell you one thing. I want to ask you a question. See whether we have this kind of tradition. What did the word of God say? When a person come to know Jesus, should they be baptized right away? Or do they have to go through baptismal classes and discipleship classes before they are allowed to be baptized? So let me ask Darren, you go to Southside Church too, right? So have you been baptized, right? Have you been go through the baptismal classes? You baptized in another church? Okay. But did you go through the baptismal classes?
Yeah, it was just like an hour, and it was just explaining.
What was the name of that church?
West Edmonton Christian Assembly.
Okay. They say you only go through 1 hour.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's good. And Esther? Mm-hmm. Did you go through baptismal classes? Is in the Korean church? And for how long?
Couple
of sessions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Elizabeth?
Mm-hmm.
Did you?
Yeah. I also did a
couple of sessions. Couple of sessions, that means 2 hours, right?
Mm-hmm.
Two Sunday school classes,
mm-hmm.
Right? So, well, I heard that, you know, I wasn't like that. At that time, I don't know much about the Bible. And people tell me you have to go through the baptismal classes. I go through the baptismal classes. It's not a couple session. It's half a year. Half a year. You know what I mean? So I want to read that to you. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, what's the truth? What's the word of God say? In chapter 2, verse 37, and all the way to 41. And less than 10 minutes, they were baptized. At the end of his sermon, what did Peter say in 37? Heather, could you read that? 37 to 41.
When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day.
What did Peter say when he concluded his sermon? In verse 36, "Therefore let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Because the teacher of the law and the Pharisee, when they teach people in the synagogue, every Sabbath, they say, "Jesus is not the Lord. Jesus is not the Christ." But Peter said, "God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." they all of a sudden they realize they make a mistake of listening to the Pharisee teaching and listen to the teacher of the law. And they said to Peter, what should we do? We crucify him already, but God make him Lord and Christ.
And Peter said, you repent and be baptized, every one of you, no exception, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sin, and you will receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
And then, in verse 41, those who accepted his message were baptized. That means those who did not accept his message or refused to be baptized. Am I right? They don't go through any class. Right? They used to persecute Jesus. And they were baptized right away.
Chapter 8. Book of Acts.
Same thing.
When the deacon called Philip preached the gospel to the Samaritan,
and they heard about Jesus Christ, in verse 12,
when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and believed in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women, way away. They don't wait. Chapter 9,
do you remember Saul? Later on he became Paul. Do you remember that fellow? He persecuted the church. And he was blinded by the light when he tried to persecute the Christian. And then what happened?
Verse 17. When Ananias went to the house and entered, placing his hand on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scale fell from Saul's eye, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized.
I tell you one thing.
How about age?
Do you
have age
limit? No, age limit. They all baptized at the same time. Take a look at Gospel. Take a look at Acts chapter 10. Verse 44,
while Peter was still speaking this word, Peter was in the house of Cornelius,
the Gentile official, centurion.
He invited all his friends and relatives, his entire household. They listened to the preaching of Peter.
While Peter was still speaking this word, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. I want to circle the word all.
The Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message.
The circumcised believer who had come with Peter were astonished that the gifts of the Holy Spirit has been poured out even on the Gentile. Verse 46.
For they heard him speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water?
They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. All those people, whether Jews or Gentiles, male or female, young and old, all of them, they were baptized in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not go through all kind of classes.
Brother and sister, let me tell you one thing. When you go to a church to listen to sermon, unless you study the scripture yourself, if you follow the tradition instead of follow the word of God, your service or your worship are in vain. Matthew chapter 15, verse 9. They worship God in vain. They serve God in vain. Why are they serving God in vain? Because God desires his worshiper to worship him in what? In spirit and in truth. Not according to man's tradition, but according to God's word. You understand what I'm trying to say? They have all kind of regulation of what you have to do, but that's not what God says. So we have to study the God's truth. Otherwise, when we follow the tradition, follow the pattern of this world, and not knowing the good wills of God, the perfect will of God, the pleasing will of God, we are suppressing the truth that we don't even know. So make sure, when we call ourselves born again Christian through the word of God, through the truth, we got to be nurtured by the truth. We got to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ so that we are set free by the truth, not bound by the tradition of man. We don't follow what man say, because that's not what God wants us to do. Now we are born again through the truth. We are nurtured by the truth. We grow up in the truth. And we set free by the truth. Free from the bondage. Free from the tradition of man. And then we follow Jesus. Do you know what is their own tradition? Before they eat, they wash hands. Superficially, look like they are very holy. But their heart is, they don't wash their heart. They don't confess their sin. You understand what I'm trying to say? You look like Christian outwardly. You are not a Christian. You are Christian inwardly. Then you are truly Christian. Only the truth can set us free. As long as we follow Jesus, follow his word, then we go and worship God. We worship God in spirit, and we worship God in truth. What is spirit? The spirit is the Holy Spirit. Okay? The spirit will set us free too. Where does it say? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. The moment we turn to the truth, the moment we turn to Jesus, we're willing to follow Jesus, the veil will be taken away. And all of a sudden, we understand God's word. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Could you read that? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 16 to 17.
But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
So what have we learned today regarding the truth? We don't suppress it, we follow it. Because the truth gives us birth. When we follow it, the truth helps us to grow up. The truth sets us free. The truth is Jesus Christ. The truth is the Spirit too. Because what's the name of the Holy Spirit? The Spirit of truth. That's his name. Okay? And then we worship God in spirit and in truth. Because God is spirit. We all have to worship God in spirit and in truth. What is the spiritual act of worship? Do you remember that? What is your spiritual act of worship? Offering yourself as a living sacrifice, this pleasing God. This is holy. This is your spiritual act of worship. Worship God
in truth and in spirit, by offering ourselves to the Lord. What does it mean by offering ourselves to the Lord? Offering ourselves to the Lord is 2 Corinthians 3:16. When we turn to the Lord, when we want to live for our own life, don't follow the truth, then a lot of Bible we don't understand. The moment we turn to Jesus, the moment we offer ourselves to the Lord, the veil is taken away. All of a sudden, the thing that I don't understand, all of a sudden, I understand. Do you have this kind of insight? When you turn to the Lord, all of a sudden you understand God's truth. And then the Holy Spirit can fill you. Okay? Now, what happened when they suppress the truth? Three things will happen. They think God is a creator, and they think God is a creator being. Okay, they exchange the creator for the creator being. When I suppress the truth, what happened? I will exchange the creator, that is God, exchange the creator to creator being. So by doing so, they don't worship the creator. They don't worship the Almighty God. They worship idol. They worship man-made idol. In Hong Kong, there's a lot of that kind of stuff. In Japan, same thing. In Thailand, too. Man-made God. Okay? Second thing, when they suppress the truth, they exchange the truth with the lie. And that third thing, they exchange the natural relationship with the unnatural. What is natural relationship? Man get married to female. Male to female. Even dog understand that. I never seen dog have sex male to male. You understand? But human being did that. They exchange that. They suppress the truth. They don't know what's natural, what's not natural. Okay, could you read that? I pointed out to you. Gospel of John. I'm sorry. In Romans, chapter 1. Verse 22 to 23. Could you read that, Etta?
Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles.
Look like mortal man, bird, look like animal, look like reptile. They are all man-made idol. God is an immortal God. They don't want to worship immortal God. They worship the mortal created being, okay? And then what happened in verse 24? Therefore God gave them over in the sinful desire of their heart to sexual impurity for the degrading of their body with one another. In verse 25, what have they exchanged? Verse 25.
They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen.
Verse 26, because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural relationship. They exchanged natural relations for a natural one. In the same way, men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. And men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty
for their perversion.
In verse 28, furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. Don't ever suppress the truth. When you suppress the truth, in verse 23, you will exchange the glory of the immortal God for image made by man. Don't ever suppress the truth. If you suppress the truth, they exchange the truth of God for a lie. If they suppress the truth, their women exchange natural relations for a natural one. When man suppressed the truth, God gave them over. And we will be in deep trouble. Now, before I was a Christian, I worshipped idols. And God had mercy on my family, and He rescued us out of this kind of bondage. And someone come to my house and share the gospel to me. And then I get to know Him. I don't mean I'm against the homosexual people. No. I'm not against homosexuals. I'm just saying, when they suppress the truth, they change the natural relations for the unnatural one. And that is sin. And they change the truth for the lie. And that's sin. They exchange the immortal God with the immortal being. That is sin. And we did that. So that's why we Gentiles are sinners. And next week I'm going to talk about chapter 2. And what did Jewish people sin against God? Because Jewish people has the word of God. So how do they sin against God? So from chapter 2, we Christians see a lot of similarity among ourselves. Because we think we have the word of God too. And we commit the same kind of sins. Like, we Christians know that. Because in Genesis, what do we know? We know that the God is the God of creator. He created heaven and earth, right? We know that. The Gentiles, they don't know, right? And that's why the non-believer, if they are Gentile, they say, well, the universe wasn't created. It just come by Big Bang theory. You know, that's not true. Okay? And when you talk about the truth, you know what the non-Christians say? There's no absolute truth. They're all relative truth. Have you ever heard of that? Right? They're all relative, they say. So that's not true. True is absolute truth. Okay? It's no relative. People who suppress the truth, they say it's relative. Can anyone read that to me? Romans 3:23. Romans 6:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned, both Jews and Gentiles have sinned against God. We all fall short of the glory of God. Chapter 6, verse 23. The wages of sins is death. So to me, the wages of sins is death. If I keep on sinning, the end result is the consequences is death. It's not relative. It's death. Right? When the Bible says all have sinned, it's not relative. He means what he says. All means 100% of them. no exception. It's not relative to. When, you know, especially when we Christian, when we try to love our friends, share the gospel, share the truth to your friend, and then he says something else, all of a sudden, if you don't know much about the truth, sometimes you get misled by them too. You're not leading them to become a Christian because of what they say to you. And end up, you're turning away from the truth. You understand what I'm trying to say? We need to grow in the truth, in the grace and knowledge of God. We got to know what we're talking about. The truth is not relative truth. The truth is absolute truth. When he said, all have sinned, he meant what he said. If there's only one person who's holy other than Jesus Christ, God didn't need to send his son to come down and die for us. He said, that guy can die for you. He can't find even one person. You understand? That is absolute truth. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Okay? Now, next week, I encourage you to start studying chapter 2 and take a look at what kind of sins did the Jewish people has committed. What is the reason why they refused to turn to God? And I found out a lot of Christians are doing the same thing as Jewish people. They know the partial truth, they don't know the whole truth. And they are against the truth. They somehow they suppress the truth and they don't realize it. You understand what I'm trying to say? Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us as we study your word. You give us wisdom. You give us knowledge. And give us your spirit of truth. And fill us with your Holy Spirit. As we study your word, you open our mind that we can understand. And so that the truth can truly set us free. When we are set free, we can help our friends to come to know you too. And we can grow together too. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.